Acts chapter 9. So, you remember what was happening in the previous chapters. There was a persecution, chiefly under Saul. And when he got saved and they sent him off away from Israel, things settled down. And there was peace. And so Peter was able to travel around the country. The church had expanded during this time of persecution, which is counterintuitive, right? That the church would grow when they are being persecuted. But that's been the story of the Christian church right from the very beginning. China tried to stamp out Christianity in 1949 under Mao Zedong when the communists took over. But there's more Christians in China than there are people in Canada. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. So Peter was able to travel around, and here he is down in the region where Philip had been ministering before the persecution. He'd gone down and talked to the eunuch, and then he had worked his way up through the coastal region to Caesarea, and he had been preaching in the villages and the towns all the way along. And so Peter, several years later, is visiting the Lord's people. The NIV says, the Greek says he's visiting the saints. So it wasn't New Orleans. It was the Christian believers in that region of Israel. So a pastor's job includes this part. And it also includes visiting. So that's what I do Wednesday afternoons. And believe me, the part that I like the most is the visiting, because that means I don't have to talk the whole time. But I get other people to talk and tell me about their lives. And I enjoy that greatly. My favorite part. So some time ago, probably six and a half years ago, Dave told me about a friend of his, Alf, who used to repair farm equipment and lived down the road or across the street from them. And he had a fall and he had a brain bleed, and he was in pretty bad shape in the hospital. So Bruce, who knew him a little bit, came with me, and we went to the hospital in Tilsonburg, and we met him and we prayed for him and talked to him a little bit. And it turned out that he moved into the Trillium, where Evelyn lives now. And we continued visiting him, Bruce and I, a couple of times, and then it was mainly me afterwards for 7 years. So Peter was visiting the Lord's people in this town, Lydda, and he found a man named Aeneas. We don't know if he was a Christian, but while he was there visiting, he found a man with a huge need. He had been paralyzed for 8 years. And that whole time he was lying on his mattress, his mat. And all we know is Peter's words to him were, "Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and put away your mattress, because you're not going to need it until bedtime." Well, he didn't say that. He said, "Put away your bed." But he wasn't to keep lying there. And so he got up. And he went out, I imagine, because people from all over saw him. And I think he was kind of happy, very happy to be actually on his feet and able to walk and to get around and to get out of the same room, to get off that bed. And people saw him, and they knew him enough so that they, when they saw him, many people in the town and in the surrounding regions, maybe they're there for market day, they turned to the Lord too. So visiting God's people, finding people with great needs, and then telling them the message that Jesus Christ heals them too, is what I want to talk about today. And the punchline, if you want to call it, is that we get down on our knees and pray that God's miracle will happen in these lives. Since I've been going to the Trillium, Evelyn's there now with her friends. So I talked to Evelyn, I talked to her friend Tina, Donna, and Glenda. And because Alf's there and I've been visiting him for the last 6 years, I know Ray and Eddie and now Gail, who is Alf's girlfriend. And I've been telling them the message that Jesus Christ loves them and that he died to save them from their sins. And there's all kinds of sadness and loneliness and physical disabilities, people who are angry at their family for putting them there. One lady said, they told me I didn't have to cook or do dishes and they just left me here. And she's Evelyn's friend. I always see them together. So Evelyn has an opportunity to be a witness to her. Evelyn is just a happy person there. And she's happy to meet and to be with the others. It's wonderful. And Alf has changed a lot from being a grouchy old curmudgeon. And he listens as I read the scriptures. And he likes me to pray for them. And he is happy now. He was so bored and lonely and not able to walk very far or very well. He's still not able to walk very well, but he has his friend Gail now. And they are so cute together. They're both in their 80s. They're not married, but they love one another. Alf is a changed man. He can still get pretty mad, and there's a few words that slip out of his mouth now and then that shouldn't. And sorry, Reverend. But you know, these are people in great need of the Lord. And I'm hoping that they understand enough to be able to put their trust in Jesus. And I need you, all of us, to be praying for them. Because that's the greatest miracle of all, is to change a person like Don, like Al. And I'm sure you know lots of people who need the Lord's hand in saving them. And that's when we get down on our knees. Why do we get down on our knees to pray? Isn't it to show our position before God that we are begging him to help us? And it's a position of humility because we can't do things. We can't solve the problems in the world. But Jesus can. So, here's the story, the first story. So Peter comes to Lydda. And he's coming to check on the people that got saved under Philip. And Peter visits the Lord's people, the saints, and here he finds Aeneas. And he's in great need. Paralyzed. And he says to him, Jesus Christ heals you. I don't know if you say that to people. Well, of course we don't say that to people, but Jesus Christ heals you, or we might say, Jesus Christ has healed you. But in the Greek, heals is continuous. It's not just one time, that's it for everything. But Jesus Christ continues to heal. Physically and spiritually and emotionally, Jesus Christ heals us. And get up and put away your bed, and he got up. That's pretty crazy. I don't know that anybody today really gets healed by someone going around and saying, Jesus Christ heals you. I know there's things on TV about healing shows and so on. I don't know, maybe I'm just a suspicious character. I don't always believe it. My dad was a medical doctor, and he was the doctor out at Prairie Bible Institute for the town. And wow, he said the faith healers would come in and people would throw their crutches away. They'd throw their canes away. They would throw their glasses away. They would do all of this stuff to get in, and they believed they were healed. And about a week to 2 weeks after the faith healer had left, a lot of people came and visited my dad and said, I lost my crutches. Can I get another pair? I need another cane. I don't know if they go to my dad for glasses, but maybe they did. I don't think anybody threw out their false teeth, but Peter was empowered by the Holy Spirit, and he had the gift of healing that the Holy Spirit gave him, and he healed this man, which is just amazing. And it was amazing to Aeneas too, and to all the people. And why did they turn to the Lord? They finally heard a good news story. You know, we always hear all the bad news. But here's a good news story of a man who was impossibly paralyzed and never going to get well again. And there he is, walking on the street. He's out of his bed. And if your God is so powerful that he can do that to change a person's life like that and give them hope, I want to have that. And I'm sure they did too. So for us, do people still need healing today? Yeah, I think so. What kinds of things do they need healing from? Well, there's lots of people who are sick. Lots of people who are mentally ill. And it seems that that's getting more and more people are just suffering so much from mental illness. And then people have emotional scars that don't show on the outside. Some people have a habit of bottling everything up inside, all of the difficulties that they faced in life, and it just ferments. It just inflames, and it makes their lives miserable sometimes. And it's only the Lord who can see what's going on in their hearts. People have addictions. Boy, do they ever. People are angry. Have you noticed that there's so many people angry now, especially after COVID? Behavioral problems, attitudes. And then there's the spiritual side, that they've just rejected any hope. And they rebelled against God. They said, no, don't believe there's a God. I don't believe there's right and wrong. I'm just going to do what I want that makes me feel better. Do people need healing from those kinds of things? Our world's not going to be very nice if there was no healing for those things. So is Jesus still in the healing business? Yeah, he is. I don't have the gift of healing like Peter did. So it's not going to do you any good or anybody else if I, you know, bless you, my son, or whatever they do. But our business, your business and my business, is to find people who need the Lord. And we don't have to look too far. But sometimes we get an opportunity to talk to them. And we need to tell them that Jesus Christ can heal them in their mind, in their life, and even in their bodies. Why else are we praying for these people who have cancer if we didn't believe that God could heal them? And it means we need to love these people and not just tick them off our list, but to keep involved in their lives. Do believers ever get sick long term? Yeah, They do. We do. We have human bodies, and we are susceptible to ailments and rheumatism and all kinds of other things as we get older. We forget. Don't ever believe someone who says that Jesus has called you to be free from illness. It's not true. So how does getting sick like that, or having something we know is going wrong, how does that affect our faith? Sometimes we can be, oh, I don't want to do this. God, where are you when I need you? And maybe our faith gets a little bit paralyzed, just like that man's legs were. Long time. Joan's boss is ill, and he's on long-term disability. And so there's no one, well, there's a replacement for him temporarily. But he needs time to rest and to recover from his illness. And Jesus will heal him. And Jesus heals the things in our lives that we allow in, because our faith gets paralyzed or damaged. He heals anger, and he heals bitterness. Bitterness is so hard, makes a person hard. But Jesus can soften people's hearts, especially when someone is kind to them. Loneliness, he heals. Guilt. And then everybody has baggage that we carry around with us, whether it's from somebody who treated us badly at some point, we have never forgiven them, and we become hard inside. Or scars from broken relationships. What do you do with that? It's hard. But Jesus forgives, and he heals, and he cleanses us. And what did he tell Aeneas? Jesus Christ heals you. Now get out of bed and roll up your mat and stop lying there. We have to trust Jesus' power to renew our faith. We need renewal from time to time. We need him to renew our faith and to heal us and to get us out of bed. What did you do for your kids when they didn't want to get out of bed? Well, camping, it was easy. You could reach down and you could pick up the air mattress and lift it up, and they slide in their sleeping bag. What does Jesus have to do to us to help us to trust him enough to go forward, even though we have all this other stuff that is affecting our faith? Does Jesus still heal us? Yes, he heals us. The second story was about Peter, who was asked to come to Joppa. This woman named Tabitha, that was her Hebrew name, and Dorcas was her Greek name, and they both meant gazelle. Dork in the English language does not mean graceful like a gazelle. So I knew a girl in youth group whose name was Dorcas, and it wasn't a very kind word or name to give her from her parents. But it meant gazelle. So this was a lovely woman, a Christian woman, and she cared for the poor. And it says that she never stopped doing good, helping the poor. And the example was, her gift was being a seamstress. So she could probably knit, she could probably sew, she could cut out cloth, maybe she even wove the cloth, and made clothes for widows who didn't have a lot of money. And so when Peter came, or when the community heard that Peter was a nearby town and that he had healed Aeneas, I think they had a hope, because she died. And they were mourning her, and especially the widows. And so they sent for messengers to him and to tell him to come, and he came and went into the house, and as their custom was, they had washed the body and they had laid it out in this upper room before they were burying. And it was time for the mourners, and there were mourners there. All these widows were there, and they were crying. And they were weeping because they really loved her. She was really lovely and kind to her. And it says they were crowded around Peter and were showing, look, she made this. Look, she made my vest. She made my dress. These are the widows talking. I don't have a dress, except for dad's dress. Never mind. Anyway. And then they backed away from the bed, and there's Tabitha's body lying on the bed. And so they presented a dead Tabitha to Peter. And he shooed them out. He said, out you go. Go downstairs. Leave me alone with her. Where did he get that idea from? Well, he had been with Jesus for 3 years. And do you remember when the synagogue leader's little daughter died? Jairus' daughter? When Jesus came to the house, he told the mourners, go away. She's just asleep. She's not dead. And he shooed them all out of the room except her parents and some of his disciples. And so he was alone with her. And Peter shooed them out. And he wasn't Jesus who could just go over to her and tell her to get up. He got down on his knees and he prayed. What do you think Peter prayed for? Well, Lord, you have given me through your Spirit power to heal people like Aeneas. But I can't raise anybody from the dead. And it wasn't my power that healed them anyway. Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Give me that gift that I can raise this woman to life. He shooed them out because they were crying and talking, and he wanted to be alone with the Lord in order to have the Lord fill him with that power. And then he told her, Tabitha, get up. And if you remember the story of Jairus' daughter, Jesus spoke to the little girl in Aramaic, and he said, Talitha kum. Talitha means little girl, and kum means get up. So commentators have wondered, did Peter speak in Aramaic, remembering what the Lord said? And he didn't say Talitha, little girl, he said Tabitha, which was the girl's name, or the lady's name, kum. That's kind of, those two stories are kind of woven together. Talitha kum, Tabitha kum. And someday, Jesus is going to say to us, when we're in our grave, he's going to say, Jay, rise up. Stephanie, rise up. And they're going to rise up and meet him with the Lord, be with the Lord. You can imagine maybe a little bit what Tabitha was thinking. She opened her eyes. She knew she had been sick, and what's going on? And she looks over and she sees Peter, and she wasn't used to seeing a man when she was in bed. He said, get up. And he reached up. Oh, she sat up when she saw him. And then he reached out his hand, and she took it, and he raised her to her feet from the bed. Then he opened the door to the downstairs, and he called down to them, and, to the believers, and to the widows especially, it says. And I love the way that Luke says this. He presented her to them alive. When he came into the room, they presented her to him dead. And because of Jesus, he was able to present her to them alive. And of course, news like that can't be hidden, and it spread. And again, many people turned to the Lord in that whole area. You remember what Jesus said to Mary, or maybe it was Martha, about Lazarus, her son, her brother who had died? He said, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. And then he asked her, do you believe this? That's our Jesus. There is no victory that death can have over a person who has Jesus as his Lord or her Lord. God defeats our enemy, death. Now, for us, when we have a prayer time, we don't usually pray for a dead person to come alive again. We don't. At least, I've never heard anybody pray for someone to come alive again that's dead. But you know, many people in our world feel like they're dead already, or they're under a sentence of death, that they're doomed. It's kind of like that guy in the Greek mythology that had a sword dangling over his head. He was always waiting for it to call and cut off his head. Damocles, I think his name was. But people are like that because they know that they have cancer. And cancer is a dreaded word, isn't it? It's a dreaded disease. And there's not a whole lot of hope always. Slow it down, maybe. It's wonderful when a person comes back with a report clear of cancer. And they live for years. And we have cancer survivors in our community, in our church. And it's wonderful news that they're still here with us. But then there's war. And there's many places in the world that are undergoing all kinds of fights, wars, attacks, terrorists, murders, bombs. I don't know that I'd be like to be living in Ukraine right now. And then there are people who are facing Alzheimer's and dementia. And maybe they know that they're getting dementia, and maybe they don't. But it's hard not remembering. And to think that someday you're going to be a burden to your kids and you won't remember them. And the grief and the separation, is not worrisome? Being alone, no one wants to die alone. No one wants to have bowel cancer and die in pain. So many people live in fear of that sentence of death. And it's frightening, and it's overwhelming, and it causes people to worry and to experience grief and pain. And they're totally unsure of what's going to happen in the future. Bonnie, Margaret, Carol, Pat, Linda, Karen, Ken, and Luke are the present ones on our prayer list for people with cancer. Can Jesus heal them? Yes, he can. And that's what we're praying for, that they will be healed. And through that healing, and through that knowing that Jesus heals them, that they would find the Savior and be healed eternally. The Ukrainians, Ola, Olena, Tatiana, Vova, Marek, and their families. Some of them who are still in Ukraine. And we pray for them. And then dementia and alcoholism with Dave's friend Don. We pray for him and his wife and Dave. Can Jesus heal them? Yes, he has that power. What's our part? Praying for them. Praying that Jesus would heal them. Loving them, supporting them, talking sense to them, being thrown out of the house, risking a lot of things for them. May Jesus present all these dear people to us alive and in Christ. Do you know, death wasn't God's original plan for us? God does not take pleasure in the death of anyone. The Bible says that. It says he wants people to repent and come to a personal knowledge of the truth about salvation in Jesus. He wants people to trust the Lord and to receive the gift. It's a free gift of salvation. So we pray for opportunities for us to be able to share God's love to people and to do so by God's Spirit and give them that good news that Jesus heals them. I want to close with a benediction from Matthew 25. I keep coming back to this passage. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." May the Lord help us to be those kinds of people that the Lord is pleased with in helping others. In Jesus' name, Lord, help us to be like that. Amen.